All right, time to get to another podcast. This time around, it's on my interview with Ellis Cooper, here to promote his show September 22nd at the Stanley Theater in Utica. Now, it's uncut because it's such a cool interview. One thing is, about a year ago, I put up a fake photo on Facebook of an election sign. It says, "Vote Genesee Joe for Exalted Omnipotent Dictator." It was a joke, and a lot of people liked it. Anyways, fast forward about a year, and I started off the conversation by saying, thanks for doing this, and you'll hear what Alice had to say. He really does his homework. Hope you enjoy it.
I will always respond to the omnipotent rock dictator that you are.
Perfect. I love it. Oh, man, you do your homework. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I do. I researched you. We all know all about you. By the way, your tax thing, you better be careful with that.
All right, man. Well, listen, let's start doing it for real over here.
Okay.
Cool. All right, 92.7 FM, The Drive. And on the phone with us right now, the man, a new friend of the Joe Shows, it's Ellis Cooper. How are you?
Genesee Joe, how you been?
I have been good. How about you, man? How did COVID treat you?
We're just waiting to get back on tour. We've only been off for a year and a half, so everybody's giddy, ready to get back on tour.
Well, you know, I'm actually gonna start there with the questions. At any point during COVID, did you say, you know, I'm not doing it anymore, or have you just been waiting to go?
Oh no, we couldn't wait to get out there. You know, we're not used to having more than 2 weeks off, let alone a year and a half. The last big show that we did, we were in Australia and we did a show with Queen. It was us and Queen for 95,000 people. And that, not realizing that was going to be the last show for a year and a half.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, you know, a nice way to go out. But, you know, we thought we were going to go back to the States and this whole thing would last a month and it would be over. You know, not all this time.
Man. Well, you know, thank God it is over. You know, at least
yeah, is. It's done. Yeah, if I never see another mask again, I'll be.
Yeah. So listen, you know, as long as we're talking about the shows, which is why you're calling, you've got such a large catalog of music and huge hits, but then diehard fans that want to hear other stuff. How does Ellis Cooper go about picking songs for a set list? It's got to be impossible.
Do you know that is the hardest thing about the show? That is really where we're in that dilemma right now. We have a set show, not realizing we were going to have a record that came out that went to number one. So Detroit Stories went to number one. Now I've got to find those songs in that album to insert into the show and which ones to pull out. And it's almost impossible to pull any of these songs out because they're the ones everybody wants to hear. So it's going to be a juggling act, but when we get into rehearsal, we'll figure out which ones really work in there. But, you know, we're certainly going to do some songs from the new album.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Go Man Go is going over huge here in Utica. We've been playing that one for at least 3 months now, and it's just such a cool tune. The whole new record, though, is great.
I like the idea of writing a song about the Hamtramck hammer and Painkiller Jane, his girlfriend, you know, and... the fact that she's the one that was go, man, go. But wait a minute, there's a train coming. Yeah, just go. You know, and it has a kind of rockabilly thing to it, but it's more Detroit. You know, it's more of a hard rock thing than a rockabilly.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, it's a cool tune, and I want to ask you about the whole Detroit Stories thing, but I just want to say Shut Up and Rock is an excellent song that needs to be done. Someone needed to do that.
You know, I'm... I'm a bit outspoken about that, you know. It just seems to me like rock and rollers should rock and roll and not be involved in politics, but that's just my opinion, you know. But I mean, that song is so, it's so politically incorrect.
I'd love you for doing it, man.
I tell people all the time, I said, I'm not politically incorrect. I'm politically incoherent.
Perfect. Hey, Frank Zappa said it a long time ago, shut up and play your guitar, and someone needed to restate that fact, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I admire people all have their opinions, and they all have their, you know, everything like that, but, you know, sometimes it's just there to go, first of all, if you were going to ask somebody about politics, why would you go to a rock singer?
No.
Why would you go to a rock star? We're like, you know, we're just a step above, you know, the swamp pond things, you know.
So the other song, I'm sorry, the other song I love is, and Joe Bonamassa is on it, and he's from Utica. I've known him since
Joe
he was a kid.
Joe is great, man. He's become a guy that, you know, he played at my Christmas Pudding show. I have a big show here, for a charity show here called the Christmas Pudding. And he was nervous about playing with the original band, with Dennis, Neil, and Mike, you know. And I said, what are you nervous about? And he said, well, let me tell you, play guitar listening to these early albums, you know.
Yeah.
But the guy is such a killer player, you know. I mean, I wrote with that one song on the album, the blues song, you know, just so I could play harp with his guitar, you know. I mean, I kind of like that was a guilty indulgence of mine.
Yeah, and that's a cool song, too. It's Drunk and...
Drunk in Love, yeah.
Yeah. That is a really cool tune. And I like the version of Rock and Roll you did and how you changed it to a Detroit station. Because the whole album...
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I knew Lou very well. Lou and I were good friends. And I mean, we lived at the Chelsea Hotel together back in those days. And he would not have minded me, you know, changing it from New York station to Detroit station. All we did was we took that... His version of it was sort of New York heroin chic. You know,
yeah.
A Velvet Underground kind of throwaway. And I just went, let's take this to Detroit and put a V8 engine in it and really amp it up and make it into a real rock and roll song. And then, you know, I've got Steve Hunter and Bonamassa and those guys on guitar. Well, they're going to kill it, you know.
Yeah. Now, that's the other thing. You're using, again, a lot of the guys from the original band. And then Steve Hunter, of course, wasn't in the original band, but he's so, you know, associated with you.
He basically kind of took Glenn's place. You know, I mean, Steve is one of the greatest guitar players ever. You know, I mean, he still is. He's my go-to guy for many, many albums. And, you know, when Glenn passed away, we really didn't have a lead guitar player, so a lot of guys filled in. But Steve Hunter and Dick Wagner were the two guys that were the real, you know, they were the real shining stars in that whole thing. And, you know, that was another thing where Joe Bonamassa was going, I get to play with Steve Hunter?
Yeah. You know,
he's such a humble guy. It's amazing.
He really is. He's so cool. Like I said, I've known him since he was a kid. You know, the funny thing about Steve Hunter is I do a lot of history stuff on my show. And I saw his birthday one time. And I think I played 5 songs in a row that he was on. And then said, the same guy was the guitar player on this one, and then on that Alice Cooper song, and on the Lou Reed Live, and on Peter Gabriel. He's played on everything.
Yeah, he was, especially with Bob Ezrin, he was the go-to guy for all of those. And, I mean, he played the Train Kept a Rollin' Aerosmith. That was Steve Hunter played that.
Man. So that leads me to this next question. You know, between Hollywood Vampires and the last album, you've had all these great guests and then some of the guys you've used before. Is there anybody that you still want to work with?
You know, I would still love to write lyrics for a Burt Bacharach song.
You could do it.
I mean, Bacharach, if you really listen to him, he's got so much respect in the rock world only because the songs that he wrote were so perfectly constructed. And they were perfect songs. I mean, when you think about all those Dionne Warwick songs, they were absolutely perfect. And I always wanted to write a lyric with that. I did get to work with McCartney, you know.
Yeah.
He sang on the the Vampires' first album. And I've known Paul for a long time, but being in the studio with Paul is a whole different thing. When you're in the studio with a Beatle, you just shut up and just let him, whatever you want, Paul. What do you want me to sing?
Yeah, I can imagine, man. Hey,
I would like to have written a song with Pete Townsend.
That would have been great. He's still good.
Pete is still the ultimate. I tell young bands all the time, do you want to see what rock attitude is? Go see Pete Townsend. He's 74 or 75, maybe. I saw him 2 years ago. And his knuckles were still bleeding, and he was still windmilling, and he was running into his amp, and he was still had the same angry attitude on stage. And I really said, that's what rock and roll's about right there, that guy.
Wow. Man, You just gave me chills when you said that, because to hear one, you know, legend say that about another guy, especially a guy that I'm sure you've been seeing for many, many years, that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys were, you know, you go back and see the Mick Jagger, you know, and the Stones. They're still the Stones, you know. They're still the nicest guys out there, and they still are the Stones. You know, I mean, they're just, you go and see them, and you go, holy crap, these guys are as good as they've ever been.
Let me ask you about one other guy. Larry Mullen Jr. from U2 has been on the last couple of records, and you don't associate him with, like, harder stuff, but, man, he can hit. He really is a good, he sounds perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes you want, you hear a guy only, you know, sort of like in his box. You know, I play with U2, and this is what I play. He can play anything. In fact, he's the only drummer that ever came to me, and he says, "Let me see the lyrics."
Oh.
And I was going, "Okay," and I said, and he goes, "Okay, okay, I get it, I get it," because he says, "I've got to interpret this on drums. I don't just sit down and play a 4/4 beat and then." You know, and then go off and do this. He says, I play to the song. And that's amazing, you know. One of the great, great drummers around. And really cool guy, the whole thing like that. Best drum I ever heard, though, was Keith Moon. Keith Moon was still the best drummer I ever heard.
That's amazing, because he was so different than what you expect from, like, a regular drummer, but...
He was doing things that other drummers would sit around going, wait a minute, he's got four things going on here at once, you know. Or his right hand, his left hand, his right foot, his left foot. There were all kinds of things going on that you didn't even notice, even, you know. But, I mean, I can't imagine doing that, you know.
Hey, you knew the guy, and I laugh because it's like he had four things going on with his body parts, and then his head was completely separate from that, too, you know. Whatever was going through his mind.
There are so many stories about him, about Keith Moon. I could tell you 100 stories, and I could find 8 other guys to tell you 100 other stories. You know, I mean, a thing that you would sit there and go, what? To him, that's a Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Oof. So, listen, coming back to your date coming up in Utica, your shows are legendary. What can people expect on this tour?
This is going to be an all-out Alice Cooper show. I mean, I think it's one of the best shows we've ever done. The production on it, the band is so good. Nita Strauss on lead guitar, and Nita was just named, like, you know, guitarist of the decade.
Yeah,
she looks like a Victoria's Secret model and plays like Steve Vai, you know.
And that's what I said last time I saw your band. I was like, holy crap, look at this, you know.
Yeah.
And then she was like,
I mean, it's
whoa.
Amazing. Yeah, and our drummer was voted best drummer in rock and roll, Glenn Sobel. So I mean, it's, the band is unbelievable. Ryan Roxy and Chuck Garrick and, you know, I mean, Tommy. It's like this band, I would put them up against anybody.
Man. Now, let me ask you this question. Ace Frehley opening up on this tour.
Yeah.
Any plans to
Ace
have him?
Ace is great. You know, he's an old buddy. You know, I mean, when he left Kiss, we knew him back in the Kiss days and everything like that. And then we went out in his own. We just always thought that was a really good combination.
Yeah.
He's a hard rocker. He knows what to do with the audience, and everybody loves him. He's one of those guys that everybody just, you know, kind of really, really loves the guy.
Will he be doing any songs with your band?
You know, we don't really know yet. I always invite people up. You know, we were out with Hailstorm, and Lizzie would come up at the end. We toured with Marilyn Manson. Marilyn opened for us for a while, and, you know, he'd come up and do 18 with me at the end of the show. And, you know, I mean, everybody that's open for us, they always have that invitation. If they want to do schools out, they're always invited.
Oh, that is cool, man. Well, listen, people have gone berserk. Literally, this is the first big concert announced for Utica. And the minute it got announced, the phones were ringing off the hook. Facebook and all the social media was blowing up. Everybody here is really looking forward to this, man. Thank you for coming to a place as small as Utica.
Oh, no, man. I did an album up in that area with Kane Roberts, and I know that area very well. In fact, one of my best friends, the Human Calculator, is in Herkimer, New York.
Oh,
which
man.
Which is not that far away.
Yeah,
and
I know who that guy
there.
Is.
Yeah, he's great.
Cool. You know, and you're coming up at the perfect time, because it's later, you know, in the year, it's fall, and our golf courses will be spectacular. And we've got them all ready for you. The whole town
is
getting...
Oh, you have golf courses there. Oh, well, I've been known to play once in a while.
Yeah, you know, that's got to be cool.
Like every day.
It's got to be cool to you because you're as associated with sports as you are with music now. Everybody knows you're a sports nut.
It's so funny, you know, because, well, especially now with the Suns, you know, I live in Arizona in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And with the Phoenix Suns, it's pretty exciting around here right now. And I've always been a Detroit Tigers fan because I'm from Detroit, you know.
Yeah.
But when you get a basketball team that's playing as well as the Suns, I've always kind of been a Suns fan ever since Barkley and back in those days. But generally, I'm a Detroit fan, you know.
Stick with the hometown guys.
With basketball, I've always been a Suns fan.
That is cool. You know, we got another little connection. Rob Esch, who owns the Utica Comets hockey team, who are with the Devils AHL affiliate, he started his hockey career in Phoenix. He was a goalie for the Coyotes back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So,
kind
of another connection, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, tell him to come down to the show.
You know what? I kind of know him. I can ask him. I definitely will tell him.
Yeah. Well, you've got to come down. You've got to come down and say hi.
Oh, I'll be there. They told me I could go on and announce Ace's band, so I can't wait.
Oh, great. Good. Well, I'll see you backstage, and we'll talk old times.
There you go. We got him now. Hey, listen, Alice, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate this, and we cannot wait to see you in Utica.
Well, thank you. And, you know, from what I understand, you are treating radio the way it should be treated. So congratulations to you.
Dude, you know what? We're playing new stuff. I got 3 or 4 Ace solo songs that I play at any given time.
I love that.
You got to regress to progress, man. You got to keep your eyes open. You know, that's the way
it is.
That's
right. There was a band that I heard that knocked me out, a band called The Stripes from Ireland.
Yeah, yes.
They have a record called Snapshot, their first album. It absolutely killed me. It sounded like the Small Faces jamming with the Yardbirds or something.
God.
And these kids are 18 years old, and I'm going, what?
How
good are they? You know, they're that good.
There's a lot of younger guys coming around, and I'm really happy about that. Playing guitar, playing bass, playing the drum, you know, I hope it's coming back. I hope
it will. You know, rock and roll goes in cycles, and right now, you know, a lot of what they call rock and roll is really not rock and roll. It's Vegas, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But there's always there's still the rock bands out there. You know, Dave Grohl's out there, and Green Day's out there, and Aerosmith, and Guns N' Roses, and us, and those bands are always going to be hard rock bands. I think there's a bunch of kids in garages right now learning our songs and learning Rolling Stone songs and Kink songs, and writing their own songs, and you're going to hear those bands.
That I hope, you know what, I believe you, and I'm really hoping that that's true, because it's, like you said, it's got to come around again, and they're out there, you know?
Yeah, I think it will. I really do. I think rock and roll is way too much fun for kids to be sitting around pretending like they like rap.
Yeah. Hey, man, they just had 18 months to learn how to play guitar, so that's all we're going to say. Yeah.
Well, not really. I mean, about a week, if you learn 3 chords, you could do any Ramon song.
There you go. You know what? And that's another band we play. I played Rockaway Beach the other day because it was so hot out.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they were great because they were just a pure garage band.
Yes, they were. Man, tons of energy. Alice, listen, I know we're getting to our 15-minute point here, so I want to say thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Genesee. And like I said, you got to come backstage, say hi, meet everybody, and we'll look forward to that.
All right. Thank you.